Blog Talk Radio.
Now you can look the word up again and again, but the dictionary doesn't know the meaning of friend. And if you ask me, you know I couldn't be much help, because a friend's somebody you judge for yourself. Some are okay and they treat you real cool, and some are taking kindness for being the fool. We like to be with some because they're funny. Others come around when they need some money. Some you grew up with around the way, and you're still real close to this very day. Homeboys through the summer, winter, spring, and fall. And then there's some we wish we never knew at all. And this list goes on again and again. But these are the people that we call friends. Out together, we barely knew each other. We had no intentions on becoming lovers, but in no time at all, you became my girl. Me and you, one on one against the world. Talking on the telephone for hours at a time, and else I was at your house, and you was at mine. And then came the arguments and all kinds of problems. Besides making love, we had nothing in common. It couldn't last longer, cause it started out strong, but I guess we went about the whole thing wrong. Cause out of nowhere, it just came to an end, because we became lovers before we were friends.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends, what we can depend on? Friends, how many of us have them? Friends, before we go any further, let's be friends.
You say you and your girlfriend were so tight. You took her out with you and your guy one night. She even had a set of keys to your home, and you shared most of everything you own. But as she shook your hand, she stole your man, and it was done so sweet, it had to be a plan. Couldn't trust her with cheese, let alone your keys. For friends like that, you don't need enemies. You wonder how long it was all going on, and you're still not sure if your flat is gone. You say, well, if she took him, he was never mine. But deep inside, you know that's just another lie. And now you're kind of cold towards people you meet, cause it's something that was done to you by some creep. But nevertheless, I'll say it again, that these are the people that we call friends.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends, before we go any further, let's be friends.
I got to call this girl, don't I? Yes, there we go.
Oh, okay, cool. So I just got to just talk then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Mel Talk.
Is Zoom stuck?
Yeah. Yeah, give us a moment, man. We're trying to get things a little situated a little bit. We're getting ready to start up on another Sabbath day. Our days we will start working on having class will be, we're going to do it on Fridays to get Saturday, just in case we don't, for the people who have to work on Sunday, for the ones who have to work on Sunday, for the ones who have to work on Saturday or, you know, whatever reason can't make class, Sabbath class on Saturday to get the scriptures, we want to make sure that we're doing it on Friday and then also set things up to come back and have Sabbath class on Saturday in the mornings. So that's going to start trying to be the routine that we want to go into.
Yeah, that'll be 10 tomorrow.
So tomorrow out in Turkey's Sabbath class, if you want everybody to come out to be invited to, we're going to do a 10 tomorrow at Hidden House. It's going to be at 2941 San Rafael, right? Southeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Everybody's welcome to come out, you know what I'm saying? Come out and read. We're going to go do the Sabbath service. We want to send prayers up. We want to start incorporating that. And if we can, at one point, build it up, we can start doing the get-togethers and things like that. But we can balance it out with us honoring the Father first and then coming back after that and having some brotherhood or just being unified and just coming together. Good? So, just to get that out the way, man, doing all that. Then to come back here on Sunday, we do the Young Brothers class on Sunday. Or I think it's been Young Brothers and Sisters that have been giving Young Brothers and Sisters kids. These Young Brothers and Sisters have kids now. So even in that, we're coming on Saturdays. I'll be Sundays at, I think we're doing at 6. Try to get in about 6 o'clock, go through the evening, be there for ask questions, situations, problems, things going on, so we can open that book and give them they time to be able to now really get clarity, get scriptures, man, get understanding, be able to have, they can ask questions, they can talk, and then we do invite all of the young brothers and sisters that are sitting at home, on that Sunday, that they're welcome to come, Shalom, brothers. They're welcome to come and join in with us on those days, man, that where we can now get in here and like just straight for edification and clarity and whatever's going on in their life that we can go up into it, man. So you know, we always happy to see the new faces. We love to have everybody continue to come out and do it up, man. We should start with the questions, but hi. There was a couple of problems we wanted to hit on, things we've been rapping about and talking. I know I talked to Shaba about us starting and going into hitting on the revelations. It's not just in the aspect of the sign of the times of what we see that's going on out in the world today, but also understanding that a lot of the things that are going on internally in Israel, internally in amongst ourselves, are things that the scripture say that is supposed to be happy. I'm encouraged, you know, that we start pushing into them topics so that we can at least understand as we get closer to Christ coming back. These are the things that are supposed to be happening among us. You know what I'm saying? And then the more we understand, somebody give me Romans. I think it's chapter 13. Redeeming the time. Romans chapter 13. We can start at verse 11.
And remember, if you have a text on Zoom, and if you have another one thing, it's on Zoom. The link has been sent down. So you can get this live on Zoom right now. You log in with, I know the word Charlotte now playing these points.
Yeah, just go back to Charlotte. There you go.
Cool. So if you're running on Zoom also as well, tell you a lot. I was sharing that question more on Zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's people who maybe will be on YouTube. Yeah, they might be following and don't have the mic on, you know, just reverb. But they might have questions also. And they can raise their
Okay.
For everybody's benefit education, we have Zoom up right now. But we also have blogtalkradio.com / Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A.
Yeah.
Log in and join us on tonight's class. We prefer you to actually be here. let me say that. We don't want the Zoom or the blog talk to be a replacement for not gathering.
Yeah.
Right? Especially tonight. It's sad. Right? It's a holy convocation.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to physically be gathering together, but it's a process where you can't physically be here because of a job or sickness or what have you.
Yeah.
And we provide the blog talk and the Zoom, but your presence is more required than just your Zoom attendance.
Right. All right. Yeah, let's go there. Let's hit Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Just as we start to build into the mindset, we're setting the mindset that as we're getting, as God's out here getting worse, we need to start getting to the point of getting into a mindset. Let me say something. It used to be enough that I could operate with enough spiritual discipline to stay, to get myself through day to day. You know what I'm saying? But you start looking at, as this thing is getting worse, it's going to require working together. It's going to require us operating together, looking out for one another. It's going to require all these different things, and I'm just not going to look at it as just the times requiring it. I'm also going to show that the Most High is still requiring this of us. If there's one way that we can prove that you're truly in order with the Father, it is how we look out for each other that we get. We talked about this earlier at the truck. You know what I'm saying? We rapped about the fact that if I'm in this truth, I'm truly saying that I'm here to serve the Father, then I have to realize, what is it that the Father looks at as important to him? And there's a scripture, man. It talks about the Most High said, he said he loved the souls, or I know it's a soul of spirits, but he said what was valuable to him. And I wonder if it was the souls of the people or it was something to that nature that the scripture talked about. But what it made me understand was, where the things that we chase, we're not realizing that the more people that we wake up, the more people that we help to bring back to the Father, the more people, more, let's just say you about, he said, converting a sinner, he said, hide a multitude of sin.
Yeah.
So these type of mind frames in the fact that we help one another and how we deal with each other, and more people that we wake up out there, the Father been looking at the whole time, everything else that we're doing, he's sitting there saying, well, that's what's important. That's the thing that's really important to me. I get everything else you're doing. But at the end of the day, your salvation is banked on one thing. What souls did you clean up? Who did you help to get them from this state of mind and condition to this state of mind and condition? Who did you help to get from living out here in this world to now following the Most High? That's where we have to start concentrating as the times get, we get closer to the end. It's almost like, it's like you're in the world and you got that your body count. I think it's in jail, like, man, I got tears from here down my damn face, right down my chest of my body count. So we almost got to start the same thing, like, I ain't doing tattoo tears. What spiritual souls have I taken from? Where's my body count at? In the spirit. Where's my spiritual count?
My brother count.
Yeah, my brother count at, man. Where are you at? Like, where you should be able to look and say, these are all the people that I took from this condition to this condition, and I never stopped working on that. Whoever I can help to convert them from this condition or this mindset to another mindset, that's what I was supposed to be working on. There you go. He's going to look and say, okay, which one, how many of my people out there did you take care of? How many people did you convert? When I mean convert, I'm not telling about I show Christ the black and we the Jews. That's the beginning starts of it. Now, to convert somebody, they stopped eating pork. They did this and that. They started honoring the Sabbath day. They was wearing fringes. They let their beard and their hair grow, man. They stopped sleeping with their woman on their cycle. Forever long, I was out there. I didn't know I was breaking. Who's been teaching me so that I know now right from wrong, what I'm supposed to do, what I'm not supposed to do, what please the Father or don't please the Father? That is going to now speak for us in volumes. But if I haven't been doing, I got to stand before the Most High, and I got to be that wicked and slothful servant.
John 15:16 said this. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you."
Right.
And the point of the quote is that he said, fruit are you developing and it's remaining.
Huh.
It's not enough that you just get the knowledge where you know you is wrong.
Right.
You get the knowledge and you're straight. What fruit are you bringing forth? What other people are you waking up and bringing and converting? When you said the and bringing them into the truth, and they're helping you to go out and bring fruit in, to bring people into back to the Most High.
John.
It's not enough. When we came in 30 years ago, did the fact you forget the knowledge of you Israelite? Oh, we thought we was on our way. We thought it was over. It was enough just to know you were Israelite. But 30 years to this game now, no, it's not just enough to know you're Israelite. There's a lot more to it. What fruit are you developing and it's remaining? Where's the growth? And we'll get to a little bit of that tonight. Where's the growth? Is that something? You're just great.
Right, man.
That you're just good. What about who are you bringing in?
God.
Who are you waking up? Who is who's growing?
There you go. That's it.
If we're not bringing fruit in, we're about to sit down and stuff. I'm going to let it go after this. If we really think the Most High Father for this level has the Babylonian, the Greeks, the beginning of the Roman Empire, that has come through this, the slavery that we went through, the lynching. I just watched that I don't know if you've seen it yet, Billie Holiday.
Uh-uh.
I guess you want to Academy Awards. It's on Hulu or whatever. Hulu. I didn't know it was like that.
Well, okay.
She was a terrible drug addict. She was raped at 10 years old. Billie Holiday went through something. Went through it. First was that level of punishment.
Right.
Now, this was something from the 30s, 40s, and 50s when she was around. The Most High must be this level of punishment because the man refused to wear a beard. He must be this level of punishment because the man, a woman, refused to dress up. Our grandmothers, and I'm talking about me and my wife and the brothers in here right now, our grandmothers wore dresses. We never seen our grandmothers
in pants. I was always dressed.
They was always in dresses. You can have it. There's still an Israel family.
Yeah.
But I get the family to the building. You know where dresses. So it's not about did you put a dress on? It's not about a man wearing a beard.
Right.
That it's both about this level of punishment. No. Our stubbornness but we knew we were Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Our stubbornness, our rebellion in the land of Israel. Strict about the law.
Huh.
And finally do polls for you out because I'm just being strict about the law. It's a lot deeper than what we're taking is. We're too surface right now.
Right.
We really are too surface with the Most High we're looking at. We're thinking that it's enough. Okay, my woman's wearing fringes. I'm a man, so I'll wear my beard if I can grow a beard, and I'm good. No. Our foreparents knew that coming on the slave ships.
Right.
Our foreparents knew that as the conquistadors that came and was conquering the land. We knew Hebrew. We knew who we were. That, so it's not enough that now we just come back now. Okay, now I'm an Israelite, and that's it.
God.
This goes much, much deeper. And we're running out of time.
I like that. I like
we're running out of time. We at least had 38 some odd years.
I'm telling you. And I'm going to say this up with you, what you say, Andrew. We had 30 years. Like, excuse me, we had to read in Romans, right? When the kids tell you redeeming the time, it's high time that we got to sleep. We had 30 years to wake up to the sleep, to wake up to the knowledge of who you are. Because that was the who 30 years ago. That was
we have kids that now have kids.
Right. That know. Right. That know.
That grew up knowing I'm Israelite.
Israelites.
So
the luster, right? The luster of who? Black and black, and you an Israelite? That shit has passed.
Hell yeah.
We have been woke up to that. So if it's time to wake up out of sleep, the sleep we have now is getting to work. That's where we're sleeping on. We're sleeping on what is it that the Father truly wants from us. Or, you got to look at this, my duty. Because this is going to tie into things that we talked about last night. I took the spirit that was on. And what's hitting me today is one thing. You may feel a certain way, but feelings and duty is different things. And being from the military, anybody being in the military know that. You can feel one way. When they say clean the deck, you don't clean the deck because that was your duty, right? You look at cats that have had to go out and go to war and shoot and everything else. They may have felt one way, but feeling one way and what was your duty was two different things. So the Father got us in that same mindset. Yeah, you may feel a certain way. And that's what this whole class is based off of, some of the things that we were talking about from last night to this morning, right? It was a big council going on, and feeling a certain way, and them feelings is be there heavy, but your feeling and your duty is two separate things, two complete separate things. You have to wake up to understand that we still have a duty, an obligation to the Father. Regardless of how I feel, there's still a duty and obligation. So I can have my fringes on. I can, I know I'm honored to Saturday. I can do all these different things and think I'm right with the Father, but not realize that there was still a duty that was of me that we're going to now go into the Bible on.
Is what you're saying, I'm just trying to keep my thumb. Okay. We're not the Pharisees and Sadducees experts at the law. Didn't they keep the Sabbath?
Yeah.
To the point where they even trying to accuse Christ. Why are you doing anything on the Sabbath? What was Christ doing on the Sabbath? He was helping people.
Right.
But the Pharisees are like, no, it's the Sabbath. We ain't supposed to. This is my question. If y'all supposed to just be at the house by yourself, how do you saw Christ with me?
Right.
But the fact that people have this thing like, well, I'm an Israelite, so I'm keeping the Sabbath. So I'm not helping nobody.
Right.
That's the same thing the Pharisees and the Sadducees are doing. Okay, I'm keeping the law, but you ain't helping nobody. And then Christ told us about the young man. What one thing I got to do to get to the kingdom? Oh, what commandment got to keep? You know commandments?
Yeah, keep the commandments.
You keep the 10. I've been doing my youth.
Yeah.
What am I lacking? You're going to be perfect.
Uh-huh.
So all that you have, and help that feed, follow me and feed the poor.
Right.
Take care of those who don't have. If you're going to be perfect. If we're striving for perfection.
There you go.
And again, I want to tap back into it. I'm trying to get my comments down there. I don't want to get personal. What studying are we doing? Are we really looking at what Christ did? On the Sabbath, he was helping people. So, and the Pharisees were the ones that Sabbath day's journey, we can't go fast.
Right.
I can't travel this far on the Sabbath day because that's the law. You don't get it. time. You still don't give it. And right now there's an argument with some people we deal with about the Saturday game and about that type of stuff. Another work after it, whatever.
Okay.
And it's two of the things we are starting to argue about.
Right.
And make debate about is stupid.
And we're missing the big picture of things. What you got, Tom? We'll do a test for the next round. You know I'm gonna do it. The reader gonna come up and read and let them grab the reader. Cool. So Romans, go to Romans now. So we start building this into the book and really going into that. And I read that point because that was last night was a shut up moment because it's like you can be in your feeling. And you feel a certain way. But what you feel, your duty trumps that. Because if you entertain your feelings, somebody is being affected in their development and growth because of your feeling. And if we keep doing this one thing, if I keep voicing, and voicing don't always mean just what comes out of my mouth. Voicing also means my actions speak way louder than what I'm saying. In my actions, I'm saying there's an issue. But all of a sudden now, I let my actions and my voice now trump my duty so that other person is supposed to, that's learning to please the Father, they're being affected by my voice, by my actions, rather than me understanding my duty. And if my duty is to them, like Christ was. If my duty was to get out here and help them, there are people around all day long that in their life striving for change from wherever they came from. This truth has been healing them. Now, my duty is to not be a stumbling block for that. But in my emotion, I'm only going to become a stumbling block for that. And that's the thing that we have to be careful of. So go to Romans real quick, right? Yeah. Romans chapter 13. Where's reading going to come on up? Let me get it.
Romans chapter 13, verse 11.
Can you hear that? Read it again.
Romans chapter 13, verse 11.
Pardon?
Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
Now, this is what I said 30 years ago. That sleep was us waking up to the knowledge of who we are. Now, who don't know who they are, from social media to everything else out there, they don't already connected the dots, and Israel has been waking up on a wide scale to who they are if we had to gauge it for the last 30 years. So if I stuck to the breakdown of you waking up to your nationality, your history, I could say that, but everybody in this room already got is on that level, right? So when it's time for us to wake out of sleep, we're asleep now at this point to the expectation. What is the Father expecting of me? And that's where I'm asleep too. What's going on out here? And now I can't allow what's going on out here to stop me from doing what's expected of me from the Father.
I was going to say, it's on the alarm.
Yeah, we all do.
So you wake up, but then what happens? So we go to our nationality, but what's going to happen?
You go back to sleep.
We're to sleep.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to use one. Passover. Saturday. Friends. No pork. Okay.
Yeah, man. God.
And we went right back to sleep.
Yeah.
Meaning, we no longer want to keep challenging ourselves.
That's it.
We no longer, it takes somebody to have the madness to get it out of you. We have more to do. Running over there. Talking about
That now is high time to wake out of sleep.
Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth, there shall no more come in unto thee, the uncircumcised, or the unclean. It's not what's going on strength.
Right.
It's not just knowing I'm Israel. It's not strength.
Right.
That is not the strength. You have to get up. So that person who is going to hit the stage, but it's time to get up and go to work.
Right.
We got what you do. If we're not getting this knowledge to put under a bushel and hide it, there's got to be work put in now.
Yeah.
It's time to go to work. Sit at home, just not telling nobody. That's not putting on strength. We have to now put on our strength. It is now high time to wake up and sleep. But why? Why am I trying to wake out of sleep and put on strength? Now go back to Romans 13.
Three. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed.
Good point. What was that? It is nearer than we believe. But the problem is that the more time we have, the more we want to sleep. COVID, but there's more to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Likewise, matter. We go, everybody been protesting, what are we doing? Going more to sleep. You would think every time something happened, you would think we'd be working harder. But every time something happens, we end up going more to sleep rather than going heavier into that duty that we were called for.
I got to get you this.
Yeah, hit it on there.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This also, that in the last days, Christ shall come. For men should be lovers of their own selves. As we're talking, he's talking about heating up, that we're becoming more of a slave to our feelings.
Right.
Instead of our duty.
Right.
And he's telling you in the last day. So we go through all the prophecies on types of earthquakes and the chariots and the wars and rumors of wars. No doubt. This is more internal.
Right.
Men are going to be lovers of their own self. It's about what they feel. That's about their duty.
Right.
And I feel this way. Now I'm going to be more of a slave to how I feel as opposed to what my duty is. And this is one of the, this was one of the telltale signs. That we don't want to let it because this society, this world, is about I'm grown, I'm a man, I'm seeking my own liberty. You do you, boo. That type of mentality. I'm doing me. You know what? We're going to agree to disagree.
Right.
I'm not really going to get with that. You ain't going to believe it. Let's just agree that you can come with you and do you. So everybody's doing their own way. You just do you, I'll do me. But that is one of the telltale signs that we're in the last day. Because people are going to be more of a slave to their feelings.
Right.
Because it says, for men to be lovers of their own self.
Uh-huh.
I know my way of doing things, my perspective, my opinion, how I see it, what I think is fair or unfair, what I think is excessive or whatever. I'm going by that as opposed to what is my duty from the Most High.
Turn that.
What is my duty from the Most High? So going back to this.
Man,
back to
I mean, that just really does resonate in the fact that you have so many different camps and groups because you have more men that want to hear themselves speak more than the duty. You know what I'm saying? If I'm, this kind of, this place, I guess, we were supposed to be called to action. If we look at it, we don't go through. We were supposed to be called to action, not to just the fact that I want to be seen in a certain light. All that we've been reading about charity, right? We've been going through all the scriptures about charity, but the more I'm looking to be seen in the light, that was my glory. My glory was being seen in the light, not the work that I've done. That is where our truth, the Most High glorifies that. I'm glorified like Christ said, like the apostle said that they, what gave them the authority is the work that is the healing of this moment or the things that were being done that Christ was doing. That was spoke to Christ. That was what honorable about what he was doing. That was glorified. The actions, not you know what I'm saying? Not just how people see me. You looking at me, you want to see the general. She's not going to be a general. I ain't did nothing. Then What good was the generalship? I haven't done anything. I have no works that speak for me. So if Christ comes back, he's looking at, well, what was your contribution? I can't go back, Mishama, 30 years ago and say, well, my contribution in 1998, man, so I was a part. Me and my Reds used to get that. I was a part of them was the Israelites back then. That was the real brothers. We had schools that was like this, and everybody looking at 1998. It ain't that weird, like the we got iPhones now. That's what the pager was about. See, most of you don't know what the hell pager. And we have the kids now. He wouldn't know what the hell a pager is. A two-way. That's what a two-way was out. You and everybody can talk about the two-way. My kids be like, this is a pager. If it ain't an iPhone 5 or 6, I don't even know what an iPhone looked like at this point.
You don't even know what an iPhone
is. Right. Right. So you're looking at this, you're like, man, I'm a dinosaur at this point, and I have been that unactive. I've been that unactive for that long. If I got to go back that far to find actions that I did for the Most High, that is not something that's going to speak for me when it's time to stand in front of Christ. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of years of being into yourself. That's only that like what you pull. I have loved myself. I've looked out for me.
The Pharisees, what was one observation about the Pharisees actually? They looked at the wrong. What type of man was John the Baptist in Christ? I'll read everything.
John.
This is Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. It says, and as they departed, Christ began to say to the multitude, concerning John, what went you out to the wilderness to see? A reed spinning in the wind? Obviously not.
Right.
Verse 8. But what went you out for to see? Yes, you got the Gucci, you got the label,
I got a little silk shirt.
You got a flop.
Yeah, man.
You dress in, you have to want the label, the design of the label, whatever, you know, to define the stuff.
Yep.
But this is what he said. Verse 8. But what went you out for to see? A man full of strong raiment? Yo, they don't the stop thinking. Are in the king power. You saw.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
But this is what
that's the house thing?
That's the house thing. Thank you. It is better. That's the house thing. You just gotta make sure you got the dress down.
Yeah.
But what's the work? How the Baptist doing?
The work.
He's doing the work. It was about making sure I look this part.
Right.
The 1970s, what were they doing? Looking the part. Right. You're active. In the future, you're front.
That's it, man. That's it.
You're front. You're fake. But you think it's about just because you look a certain way. But as we bring it out, what works what he's doing?
Thank you.
He was working. What works are we doing? If all you can account for is you have all your passive accounts, and that's the extent of your dedication to the Most High, your passive loans.
That's it.
Now, your rib might disappoint.
It's like, because she was throwing her butt off. Right. She got a little
chill.
Yeah.
Somebody really was working.
Damn.
That's their credit.
Damn.
But for you, the more soft brain that you've got, what works do you have to go with your soft brain?
Yeah, that's all damn near a dishonor if there's no you haven't converted anyone. Where's your brother count? We don't call them body count. I love that word now. Where is your brother count? That is what is always gonna be what's expected, and I'm starting to realize that's something that we have gotten away from. We've gotten away from our duty. not your feelings, but your duty, or not the dress, right? I want to dress the part, but I don't want to do the work.
Yeah, I want the accolades for dressing the part.
Yep.
But
I ain't trying to do no work. And the Father, let me jump into this real quick, right? Give me Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 17. So y'all gonna get y'all belt. I'm going to start early with little mama's man. She best with pockets. Luke chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 17 through verse 21. Now, you know what we're going to start going and jumping into? If you want to label it, this is your duty. This is your duty that was given to you by Christ. This is the same duty that he spent passing from the time he walked the earth through Paul and their time, all the way through from Christ being on earth to leaving, this is a duty that was passed on the whole time. This the whole old, the whole New Testament. And he's getting it from the Old Testament. Luke chapter 4, verse 17.
Luke chapter 4, verse 17.
Uh-huh.
And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet.
Now there's Christ is giving the book of what?
Of the book of the prophet.
So we know it's not the New Testament, because the New Testament is written of him. So the Old Testament prophets, they were reading from that book. When you read the top of this chapter, it talks about Christ reading in the synagogue. So when he did go to read on the Sabbath day, if we didn't think that that was important, Christ did the same exact thing. He came and he read from the book of the prophets on the Sabbath day. So he's reading the Old Testament on the Sabbath day, it's a Christ thing.
And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened it,
the book of the prophet
Isaiah.
So we're talking about the prophet Isaiah.
And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." To preach the gospel.
And you can find that in the book of Isaiah. But also, when you can read about his house, put it out here in the garden. So Christ reads from this passage in the book of Isaiah. Go ahead.
Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
He said we were anointed. Christ said he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Right? Waking our people up. Helping them out of the condition that they're in. Right. The one from 100 is the Bible. The one that, yes, the one.
It says it right here.
The one that came to that voice. I was God given it to them. We dropped a true thought on my house is everywhere. And my house is tied up to them. The most I not sit back, but you know what? It's not the burden. My title to the truth. Y'all did a great work. The duty was to go out to the poor and help them. Go convert them. Go drop this knowledge on them. They in the worst condition. They the one that need it. Go ahead.
Preach deliverance.
Preach what?
To preach deliverance to the captives.
To the what?
To the captives.
So the ones that's in jail, these ones that the drugs done got them, this world done got them, the streets done got them. He said, go preach to them. Go wake them up out of the condition that they're in. Read on.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted.
He sent me to do what?
To heal the brokenhearted.
Kanye ain't brokenhearted. All these Catholics, they ain't brokenhearted. They live in a life of sin, and they enjoying it. But the ones that got to get up every day and don't have an answer, a direction, they don't know where their next meal is coming from. They don't know if they wake up tomorrow and they have a roof over their head. He said those are the ones that have been broken mentally, spiritually. We're supposed to go to them. That's where that is the duty that we were called in here to do. Go ahead.
To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind.
And recover what?
Of sight to the blind.
But they ain't just been blind to their nationality. They've been blinded to think that if I go out on the street corner and hold myself out, there's an end to this. If I go out and sell these drugs, there's an end to this. Hell, if I go out here and I rob banks and I'm a live homeless, and the government at one point somebody gonna come help me.
Yeah.
You lost your direction. You lost your way. Who's supposed to be part of your duty? This was Christ's words that he read.
Wow.
Read.
Some of you got
Luke chapter 4 verse 18. And recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
This is the time. These are the ones that don't got the internet, Shabbat. They don't have social media, so they ain't getting the liberty of going out and getting on a computer and watching some brother on the street corner, because now street speaking ain't directed towards the people in the hood. More street speaking is directed towards the likes on the YouTube. But most of these people out here that are broken, homeless, they don't have YouTube. Well, I can't even pay my phone bill. The time I get YouTube is maybe when I walk into the public library and get on the computer. And now that COVID's here, we can't go nowhere. But these are the things that these are the ones that the Most High is looking at. Christ was ordaining. This was the duty for us to go and reach. This is what the work really was about. Read on.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Go ahead.
Verse 20. And he closed the book. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue who were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
He said, this day, now you got your duty. You have been instructed. And then he came back and told the apostles the exact same thing. Healed the sick. Cleansed the leper. Freely as received, freely give.
Raise the dead.
I've been instructing, but you have your instructions, but because of all of your personal feelings and things you're going through, I'm hitting the snooze button. Or I let my feelings trump my duty.
I gotta get it now. I'll read Luke chapter 14, verse 25 and down.
Huh? Oh, is my phone?
Can I
he didn't know his phone.
Sure, I'm in Luke chapter 14. I'm starting with 25. I've been covering about duties and feelings, right? So we got Luke chapter 14, verse 25. And there was great multitudes with him. And he turned and said to them, so were there a lot of people following Christ?
Yes.
They were physically following the man. Christ, Yahushua, Hamashiach, whatever you want to say, cool. There was great multitude, not just a multitude, great multitudes with him.
Right.
And he turned and said unto them, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sister,
yea,
and
his
own
life also,
he cannot
be my disciple. So what are some excuses that are used today and why the work can't get done? Because I got to worry about what my father says, what my mother says, what my wife's going to say, how my children will look at me, how my brothers will look at me, how my sisters will look at me, and then I got my own life. I got my own way of doing things. I got my own comforts. I got a lot of things I worked hard for that I'm not trying to put down. But Christ said, if those things are more, become more of a priority, you can't be his disciple. So if these are things that are emotional tugs, pulling at your heartstrings, it's preventing you from doing your duty for Christ and the Most High, you cannot be his disciple. You cannot be his student. Verse 26, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Yeah, it's going to be an issue. Let me go back to the list. If your father says something to you about the work you're doing, that you're not fulfilling his standard, good, deal with that. If your mother is coming at you that you're not fulfilling her standard of what she had for your life, cool, that's your burden, deal with that. If your wife, your children, your brethren, your sisters are coming at you about how you're supposed to be leading your life, and the choices you're making now to serve Christ is not pleasing these other things, you cannot be his disciple. And it says, yay, and your own life also, your goals and aspirations and visions and plans and what have you, if that's what you were going to serve, there is no way in hell you're fulfilling Christ's duty to even be his student. It ain't going to happen. And you don't bear that burden? You don't bear that cross? It's just too much for you. I can't deal with it. I can't hold this standard that Christ is telling me I got to fulfill and still do this. I can't do it. Well, Christ said, cool. You also can't be my disciple. You also can't be my student. So choose you this day, life or death. I'm going to say it like that.
That's the same point. Because he'll keep paying attention to the work, the duty. You know what I'm saying? And I love this. And because these scriptures are
specific in what the Father was expecting of us, that we end up using our own understanding or using what is the standard of what the world would consider and was the duty of an Israelite during Christ and the apostles' time. Because we are operating off the world standard now. We're getting further and further away from what the Bible said the standard was to now kind of developing the world standard or the world's wisdom of what it would be to perform that duty that was required of us according to the Bible.
What they have is that duty was. When mom said, when dad said, my own life, which he hit the snooze button.
Yeah. Or how what I'm doing is going to make me some money. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. But it's almost like, what's the financial value of this? Or that self-fulfillment. So if it's got to be.
We do McDonald's. Don't make
sure. Right. Or you know what? Listen, I want to go to bed at night. I want something that makes me feel good about myself when I go to bed at night. Sometimes your duty, it ain't going to make you feel good. That's like having to fire your best friend at work. You his boss, and the axe come down. Okay, man, you got to go. You got to walk in there and say, I know we hang out, we break down with those, we do our thing, but I got to cut you. You know what I'm saying? At that point, I just like, wait a minute. That is not an easy thing to do, but it's my duty. I'm using it for an example of the way we look at this truth. It's not always going to be in your favor. It ain't always going to feel good of what you're still required to get up and go to work still. You ain't your feelings, but you still got to get up your job. This ain't, there's no justification, there's no justifying duty. We don't do that when we go to work. Well, you can try. You get fired if you do it that way. I go to the job and I say, well, these things I'm comfortable doing, well, this I'm not really comfortable doing. Morally, my moral compass, I think this right here, feel like this is right. The father, I really didn't ask you. Go ask Jonah. Go meet Jonah. And you can see what I thought about your ethics of what you felt was right.
Verse 3.
Right. I'm gonna have your spirit chased and torment in your ass till you do what? Till you do your duty. We keep challenging the Father and not realizing that's what you're doing. In all your head trips, the only thing you're doing is challenging the Father till he finally gets pissed off. Coming into the times where I'm starting to get pissed off, I'm not getting pissed off at Esau or the world because they do what they're supposed to be doing. I created them. I created them to play the part of the wicked. They are doing a really good job at what they were created to do. The problem is not them. The problem is the ones I created through righteousness ain't doing the job that they were created to do. You have a duty to play in this, and you're not playing the part that you were created to play. This is where we're getting to. So what we're going to read now, 1 Corinthians chapter 17, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, and then jump down to verse 21.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, 17, 18. Read that.
For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel.
Now, let's stop. I'm going to be clear so we don't take this in a different direction. Paul did baptize. He tell you in a few verses above the people that he baptized. So the topic of this wasn't about baptism. He just understood that's not, John the Baptist baptized. That's what he did. That wasn't my calling. That wasn't the duty that was put on me. What was the duty that was put on Paul? Read on.
Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect.
Read 17 again.
For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. But to preach the gospel.
Christ didn't send me to baptize. My duty was to preach the gospel, was to get out here and wake up my people. Read on.
Not with wisdom of words.
And not by these witty sayings, or my job is to counsel. I don't preach the gospel. What I do is, when you come to me, I'm going to give you some counsel. Paul said that wasn't my job. My duty was to get out here and wake my people up. And obviously it was a good profession, because from after Acts, you have the majority of the New Testament written about this man's works. You ain't reading nowhere. All you're reading about is what these men did, not what they were saying. When I gave the eunuch great counsel, man. When I gave the eunuch this counsel, you have to. You don't know what he's saying. They just tell you the interaction. But for whatever he said to him, this is the course. This is the direction this man went on. These brothers in the synagogue was teaching, huh? They was out healing. When Christ was healing, they was out right with him. They got out to do the work. There are so many examples that we are not looking at and not patterning our life after to where these men were out there reaching our people, waking up, building. If it was a school, then it was all these things are being built to bring people in. so we really could do what we're supposed to do, heal them. But you know what we keep doing? We're going to keep doing what the scriptures say we do. We keep using this world's wisdom. If we're supposed to be able to now, as we keep reading, we're going to find out if, when you're reading the Bible, what you do, and if what I'm doing, I should be able to find it in the book. Because I'm calling this when I'm doing the work. Because we need this. It'd be like me saying, Michelle, I'm opening a business because money's a defense. Most of like, ask the rich man. Ask the rich man how the father felt about his money.
True.
It didn't even say he was, when you read that story, it didn't even say he was doing anything. It just said he was a rich man. But in that, the only thing his riches took care of was him. That's the whole story. Him and his brothers and his family. Because when you read the story of him and Lazarus, he was asking Moses to send back, or Abraham to send back Lazarus to his family. Nobody else. It was all about that. That is so contrary, so far from what we read about with Christ and the apostles and the men that came after them went out and did. They was out there preaching, getting this word out. Read on.
End of verse 17. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect.
So if I'm not out here preaching the gospel, waking my people up, then, yeah, all the work that he did, it was for nothing. His life that I sacrificed, all my life work was for nothing.
And it's supposed to be to wake up today and bring Israel back to the Most High.
None.
The nation back to the Most High.
It was an example for us to continue. If I did it so that you would have an example of what to do so that the work would continue. That was your duty, to continue the work. So you saw that feeling when you say, man, so what I was doing, and this would be almost your verbatim statement. So what I was doing didn't mean shit then. All the time I was out of here, Khan, I get you. I just did these 30 years, they ain't meant shit. So Christ look at it like, wow, okay. So we're not teaching no more, huh? So we're not out spreading the gospel. That ain't the wisdom of the Most High. So what I was doing just didn't mean anything then. My life work and my dedication, even up to my death, didn't mean anything if all you did was play dress up. Because that's all you understood when it was about the example that I set for you. But Peter and the rest of them understood it. Paul and the rest of them understood what this was about, what was important. Read on.
Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us.
No, stop. He said the preaching of the cross to them that have stopped doing this work, man, they quit a long time ago. That's why getting out here and preaching is foolishness. But to who?
It says, foolishness, but unto us, which are, but unto us.
What the duty was, read,
which are saved, it is the power of God.
It is the only thing that's important to the Father. I love when you have a reader, because when you read it, your head be cloudy when you read it. You be having all kinds of thoughts. But when somebody else read it, you be like, that's what it said. That came out a whole lot clearer than when I read it. When you have like, because that's when they go into the class, and somebody come like, and read what you wrote down, and you're like, when he read it, I really understood that. He said, this was foolishness to you because you were a fool. So to you, this is foolishness. He said, but to us, we understood that this was salvation. This has always been about, this was the way that you were going to be saved. But to everybody who have, keep reading. Keep reading. I'll stop talking.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Go ahead.
But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise.
Come on in with it. That's why I do what I do. Get the wheel turning.
So he says,
the preaching. Read that one more time.
Verse 17.
Wow.
Oh, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Destroy the wisdom of the wise.
Everyone that called themselves wise, guess what they had already did? They already perished. They quit. I quit doing this work a long time ago. But in me quitting, I needed something to justify me quitting. So now, all of a sudden, how I think and how I do things, that's wisdom. Paul called it what? Foolishness. Because you already quit. You had already perished. You had already given up. But to the ones that were saved, to the ones that were still working on their salvation, this was the power of the Most High. This is what was required and expected of the Most High. Read on.
And will bring nothing.
Read top 18.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of the Most High.
Go ahead.
For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.
Go ahead.
Where is the wise? Where is the scribe?
If you were so wise,
then where are your works? Mm-hmm. If this ain't the will, if doing this is not the will of the Most High, then your works should speak for you. Where they am? The Most High don't. He didn't say. He didn't name the wise man by name. You know a wise man by the fruit he bear. You would know that you know a tree by the fruit he bear. If you wise, where's your work? Where's your fruit? Where you been? That's the same thing Paul asked. Where's the wise? Where's the prudent? Read.
And will bring nothing it says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world?
He said, where is the what? The disputer of this world.
He said, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world?
And when
I was at
an argument,
right.
The wisdom of the world is wisdom. So how would that be disputed? When it's about dispute, when it goes against my company,
dumb.
It's a dispute. Are you sure this is religious? Are you sure this is understanding? Are you sure this is correct? Are you sure this is really what the Most High wants to do? Now it's a dispute because now it's going to mess with even our listening to rest. It's not what my dad says, what my wife said, what my brother said, what my sister said. I really just my own life about everything. It's just against that. So is this really wisdom? And that's where the dispute starts. That's where the contention starts. And the Most High is kind of calling that person out. You gonna really dispute how I do things? You really gonna really rub your mouth? Most High is wrong. How? The Most High is wrong because it's inconvenient or uncomfortable for you?
Come.
And that seems so ludicrous right now, I love it. Who in their right mind would think you're gonna box and fight with God? But this is what people do. We get to talking to ourselves.
Yeah.
convincing ourselves that the way we're seeing it is right and the Most High is off. But he said his thoughts and our thoughts.
Right.
His ways and our ways in his way.
Hold on. Keep going. Please, please.
This is it.
Take one. Are you okay?
Okay.
To pretend an argument, can you?
To contend an argument.
To pretend an argument. I can tell you what the wisdom of the Most High is. I'm so to the wisdom of the world. When we say the wisdom of the world,
how many different definitions are there for the word world? There are 14 different definitions for the word world. So what we're going to use here is the world of Esau, because many of us ain't really deal with that in the first place. This is talking about your world, the wisdom of what you, how you run your life, which ain't really the wisdom of the Messiah. And your wisdom is based on how you feel. It's not based on the duty that we have towards the Most High. It's based on how you feel. So you keep wanting to bring in wrong wisdom. And I'm talking to those who know the Israelites. I'm not talking to new people who are just coming to the knowledge. Obviously, you're still contending with Christmas and Easter. You're still contending with eating pork or shrimp crab or lobster. But I got Israelites in here that for 22 years, you've never ate shrimp crab or lobster because it was never on your plate because your father was in the truth. You understand that part. There's still the wisdom of the world. It's a wisdom based on our own feelings. It's a wisdom based on how I feel, which is not dictated by the church. It's dictated by rap lyrics. It's a wisdom that's dictated by how you feel. What are we at again?
Where is the dispute of this world?
So the Most High is now asking the question. Where is the dispute of this world? It's going against your world. It's going against your feelings. And you have a dispute. You're arguing. To contend. You're contending. And you're trying to come up with an argument. What we always say. Why is my way wrong? So what's so bad about how I'm doing?
As to attempt to disprove by arguments or statements.
Read it again.
To attempt to disprove.
To attempt to disprove. I'm going to prove why my way of looking at it is right and your way of looking at it and what you're presenting to me is wrong. Because the way I see it, the way I feel, this is how it's supposed to be. I don't care what the scripture says. This is what I feel.
By arguments or statements?
By arguments and statements. I'm going to keep arguing. I'm going to keep making my statements until I can get it going my way according to how I feel. So where is the disputer of this world? Again, we ain't talking about no Al Sharptons for the holidays. We ain't talking about Jay-Z's free locks and whatever the hell is going on. We ain't talking about Lil Uzi Vert or Ski Master and Skip Mark Assassin or whatever. These type of niggas or whatever. We ain't talking about, I don't even know whoever the black political party is right now. I don't know. We're talking about a person. You run your life based on your feelings. You run your life on your wisdom. It's totally based on how you feel. We have nothing to do with our duty to the Most High. So where's the disputer of this world? You keep trying to give your arguments, your justifications about why your way is right, and how you're looking at it is correct, and how now the Bible was wrong, how the Messiah was wrong, and that Christ was stupid. I wouldn't do it like that's not how I would do things. That's the inconvenience. That is that.
Why don't I do it that way when I can do it much easier? We're talking about Christ, right? Even Christ goes to the Most High and says, Father, if it be possible, take this cup away from me. The stress level on Christ was so strong, he was sweating blood. Who here has, I ain't talking about after you got somebody, man, he popped you in the nose, and you got a nosebleed. I'm talking about when have you had actual blood droplets form from your skin because that's the level of stress you were under. Well, guess what Christ went through? That stress was so intense, he literally sweated blood. Ain't nobody here can say he did that. We drank enough to pee blood. We were getting into fights and we needed to, might be some blood in the stool. We sweat drops of blood. We got some headaches. We got some migraines. But to say we actually got to the stress level point that we sweated blood. No. See, those things, not my will, but what? Father, your will be done. But you want it to be done. So even Christ couldn't just do it by his feelings and say, well, according to how I feel, I'm going to do this or that. He can't do what the Most High wanted. So, again, this is hitting me all in the head right now. I ain't going to lie to that. The influence of Satan, I'm going to talk about that. The influence of the adversary to go against what the Most High and Christ wanted based on feelings. This shit is strong. This shit is strong that now everything else is wisdom, but the duty to the Most High. Yeah, wisdom is based on, again, on how I feel, but not on what my duty is. And this is scaring the shit out of me right now. I'm scared. I'm terrified. Keep reading the scripture.
21.
Uh-huh.
For after that, in the wisdom of the Most High.
Read that again.
For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God.
So I'm showing you, if we was really in the book and in the Bible, we in here learn the wisdom of the Most High. But everything else, that's the wisdom of, that's another person's, that would be your private interpretation as if we was going to use a Bible phrase or a Bible term. That's more of your private interpretation. When we read and clearly, all through, we're going to keep going. All through, they understood that getting this word out, helping the poor, that's what this is about. And which I had the same effect. When I was putting it together and reading, I was like, man, we have drifted so far off, it's scary. We have drifted off to now the generation that come after us think that what I'm doing is biblical. And you can't find it in the book. I'm afraid of Christ coming back right now. Because if he had to take my works and put the Bible up like this, he's going to find a lot of discrepancies. I'm thinking for me. There's going to be a whole lot of discrepancies like, man, the last 20 years, this is what she was doing. But this is what you were supposed to be doing. Because prior to this time, this is what you started off learning. As Scripture says, there is no foundation that can be laid than that which was laid. So if somebody already laid a foundation in me, and I knew one thing, and for the last 20 years I've been doing something contrary to what I knew was right, I still got an answer for it. Or the wisdom of this world has taught us that you can do about what you want to do, and as long as you made it sound spiritual and you had the dress down or look down, that might be it. It just might be spiritual. Or you got that talk down, right? You got the talk. I can come with enough, and my voice, now everybody do it to each other. Yeah, everybody do it. Now it's how. How aggressive I can talk to you. Come on. Oh, so he's a general, brother. Yeah, he has some deepness to his voice. Oh, man. That timing. You know what's crazy? And I like the point you brought up about the dispute and stuff, because we could be up here teaching. You read the one thing, but I come in your class, and now I'm going to take it, and I'm going to say, okay, you know what? Let me take it deeper. How do you take it deeper? How do you go deeper than what you're reading? Oh, I get it. The dictionary makes it deep. Oh, I get it. When you try to tie in your self experiences, that's supposed to make it deeper. It ain't just deep enough. That maybe how Christ did it was just deep enough. This is deep as it needed to go. That's it. I made you laugh. See, that's because I made you say, ooh. Hold on, you know what deep as it should go? Preach. Can somebody give me a definition of preach? Because maybe that's about it. Maybe I can find an elementary root word to what you mean when you said preach. Give me the Spanish word for preach. Maybe it's a language. Is it a different word in Hebrew for preach? Give me the definition of preach so we can take this as Yahushua and the apostles were trying to take it. They already reached the depth of how deep this was supposed to go. I was reading. Give me the definition real quick. Deep. Preach.
To pronounce a public discourse.
Hold on. What?
To pronounce a public discourse.
Hold on. So preaching is something that's done publicly. Number one, we're going to take it deep. See, I put the pauses in there. You got to put them silent pauses.
Right.
But that's how you know.
Right.
That's how you know it's really deep. Yeah, you got to let that resonate for a minute. You got to get out here and do it public. Somebody give me the definition of public. That's the stupidity. That is the wisdom of the world. That's the stupidity we keep doing. Trying to find ways of making it deep. You get so deep, you forget what the damn duty was. It's like, it's so deeper and deeper that you forget the point. What was the point that he was trying to say? Get out of here and help. It done got so deep that we so focused on how deep it is, we ain't helping no more. We ain't proclaiming anybody. We ain't healing anybody. Maybe the deepness is the problem. Maybe that deep, that wisdom we trying, that level we trying to get to, the Father's looking at that like it's foolishness. You already made it as deep as it needs to go. You don't have to, it don't got to be deeper for you to do the action. You making it deeper because you perished, because you quit. You gave up on your salvation. This is about work. The scripture says we're going to be saved by your works, not your words, not the silk clothes. This is about work. Read on.
The definition or the Bible card. Verse 21.
The point is the Bible reads. If you have the book of the Lord and read, he never said, seek you out a book and take it deeper. Yeah, you don't need to paraphrase. We got it. Because all this deepness is making it dumb. The most I say was the author of confusion. All we've been doing is spreading more confusion. Because now we done got away from the actual duty. We got to go back to elementary level. What do I do? Do I put rules on the kitchen table, on the refrigerator? You say, wash the dishes. That's pretty basic, simple. Now, if you say, run water till we get to this level, and then when we get to this level, stop and go over here and you have to adjust the pipe over here. And then when you adjust the pipe over here, then you got to make sure it don't leak over here. Now, that's plumbing. We know it from dishes to plumbing. You done made this thing way too difficult. When the rule was, what did you want to do in the first place? Just do the dishes. So why couldn't we just left it as us? Thank you. I don't want you to fix the plumbing. I want you to do the dishes. I want this. Right. Christ, we read it. Keep reading.
For after that, in the wisdom of the Most High, the world by wisdom knew not the the Most High.
Read on.
It pleased the Most High by the foolishness of preaching.
It pleased the Most High what?
By the foolishness of preaching.
The thing we've gotten away from, the thing that's not deep, the Father said, that's the thing that pleased me. This whole time, you don't know me. What you ain't realized is that was what pleased me. The rest of it is foolishness. So as long as you keep doing this, you in the world, man. It's time to, you might as well catch your body up. You ain't doing his work. You might as well smoke your cigars and get out here and live your life because you ain't doing his work. I don't care how deep you think you're taking it. I ask for something that's foolish to everybody else, unimportant, of no value. That's what it's, it may not be valuable to them, but it's what pleases me. Those little two words is as simple as the Bible has to get. Please me. You put a whole class together on please me. You get to the concordance and put a concordance class with them Karyat classes on. You find all the places in the Bible that says please me. And you keep your life that simple. It don't got to make sense to everybody else. The Father already knew it wasn't going to be wise and deep to everyone else. But it's what pleased him. He could have said, going to church on Sunday, please me. As much as you wanted to look at every other day that you was going to do this, it's still the day. It ain't going to change the fact that this would please me. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. You can get as deep as you want every other day of the week. He's still going to tell you what. This day pleases me. How deep do we got to take it? We need the day of Jubilee. The Most High said, no, you need the Sabbath day. You just need the Sabbath day. You can put whatever little, you can put whatever little suffix you want on it. This is the day that pleased me. This in the Bible it said that not to pick corn on the Sabbath. The guy ain't got no corn. But you know what? But you know you're getting the gist. I'm supposed to be home doing nothing. Fine, you can do that, but you can't do that and then come back now and say I'm pleasing the Father. He already told you what pleases him, and though it's foolishness to everyone else, it still pleases him, and that's what we're supposed to be focused on. He the one that got the kingdom. I'm listening to everybody else's wisdom who ain't got a pot to piss in and nothing to give me. But you going to tell me, you finna sit, that's arrogant side. You going to sit and tell me what you believe pleasing the Father is based on how you justify and you twist the Bible up a little bit. And we done got away from the simple words, please me. This is what pleases me. It's simple. Finish it up.
It pleased the Most High by foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
He said, I was supposed to be out here saving my people that believe. I was supposed to be out here teaching them and helping and saving them because they believe, not because of what they can do for me. The Bible. This really is a deep class. This is how deep it was supposed to be. This, he's showing you all day your duty. It was supposed to be, I'm supposed to be out here opening this book and helping to cultivate the ones that believe in the Father. I was supposed to be here opening this book up, out here on these street corners, whatever I'm doing, focusing on saving them that believe. Read where we at. From there, look how we go. Go to Acts. Oh, I'm going to read this. Go to Tom. Mom, get Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13.
And then I want to read Acts 16 and 10.
Read Acts chapter 16 and 10. Ahmad, you're reading Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 through 16, all right? And then, now it's on Romans chapter 10, 13 through 15. 16 and 10. Read that.
Acts chapter 16, verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them.
Let me slow it down. Here, let's still based on one thing. Preach. Read that again.
And after he had seen the vision.
So there was a. With Acts 16. He went and he fully understood. He said, he saw it and was assured. I understand. But you can understand. You can get by action what you understood. So now, I'm gauging men's actions, and I tell what? When you read the Bible, this is the understanding that you're getting. Because your actions speak for your understanding. Somewhere, you in this book, and your understanding is to take care of you. Now, you have to get back to me and let me know what chapter and verse you read from. But when the prophets were talked to and dealt with, when Peter there was dealt with, they understood and got to work. Read that again.
Acts chapter 16, verse 10.
Uh-huh.
And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us.
Immediately. Go ahead.
Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel.
So somewhere, Peter the Apostle hit the truth, but it was with Christ out here preaching the gospel, healing. But the moment of the mission blew up, him sparked up again. I need something to kickstart me to get out here and start preaching the gospel, spread this word. Read the next one. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13.
Okay.
You got to come up. Yeah, come on up. Can you? Yeah, come on up.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 13.
Come on up. Okay. We don't get the mic fixed, man.
Yeah. No problem.
Read that.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 13.
Uh-huh.
Says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended.
I love what Paul was saying there. Paul said, I never acted like I was there. I never counted myself that way. I've achieved a level. Read that again.
Yeah, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13.
brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended.
Go ahead.
But this one thing I do.
I've obtained a level. I ain't never going to say that I truly know that I've made it to the kingdom. And that's the way we act. We act like we already got a guaranteed seat in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Never going to act like I got it. Like, I made it. Like, I got the golden ticket. That's only in the chocolate factory. We're not going to live tonight. Yeah, right. We ain't made it. But that's the way we act when you sit down and you don't go to work. But Paul said, I've never acted as if I'm apprehended. But this one thing I do,
this one thing I do, forgetting those things are behind.
He said, I do what?
Forgetting those things which are behind.
I got to come out of my feelings. I can't live in the past. I can't stay in my feelings. That's where you at. I'm living in my head. He said, forgetting those things in the past, I got to get out of my head. I got to get out of my feelings and do what?
And reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Go ahead.
Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling.
So we was all called. I go through, I got a group of scriptures shows that we was called. So we got the truth. We got that calling. When you found out you was an Israelite and that Christ, the Most High, chose you, Christ died for you, all that you figured out. You learned that was the calling. That was that wake-up call you got. This wasn't about just the calling. I wasn't supposed to stop there. He said, I was supposed to press towards the high calling, the real duty, the real part of what this work is about. Read that again.
End of verse 13. And reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Go ahead.
I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of the Most High.
I want to sit on that seat like Christ. I want to do the level of work that Christ did. I want to really come out in this work, in this truth, and I want to impact my people. I'm not finna come to the Father now and I was the most spiritual brother at home. Christ, you should see me. I'd be at home. Gar it up.
You don't understand.
You're like, it had to be in the 90s, like. It was that, he's like that old brother that never left the porch. He was the OG that never left the porch, man. I mean, I don't know what movie that was out there. Yeah, no, yeah, he was before he left. He's old school, like, old school, never left the porch. I was like, how you the OG of the neighborhood? You ain't never left the porch, man. But he had to look down. He had to get ready to dress his body, come out. He's schooling the youngsters. You schooling everybody, but you ain't never left the porch. You ain't even got in the fight. Your work really does have to speak for you. Where is your brother count? I'm going to put that on the T-shirt. Where is your brother count? When you going to get off the porch? Trust me, you look spiritual. Man, at Facebook, man, I'm telling you, social media done messed a lot of people up. You start looking at all your friend requests. A lot of people, you requested a friend, and for some reason, you really look at that like, man, I'm looking at my following. You know that people just be following for the heck of fun. They're not really following. They trying to build their following up. So if they follow you, you follow them. Now the numbers are spread. My numbers are up.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Brother, when I look at the, we food, it's not, that's not going to get me into the kingdom. I got to get off the porch. I got to get into the work. But the more I know what the work is, I can go to work. There's wisdom that then led us from the foolishness of preaching. The Most High look at that as foolishness. Finish it up.
We're into verse 14. Actually 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of the Most High in Yahushua.
Go ahead.
Verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded.
He said, wow. So this goes right with what you just told me, what you brought out when you talked about the man that came to Christ and asked him what he had to do to be saved. Christ to keep the commandments. He said, I've done that. He said, well, if you're going to be perfect, sell all that you have and follow me. Let's go feed the poor. So in that same perfection, Paul's like, man, let's get out. If you're going to be perfect, let's spread the gospel. Because that was this calling. That's what they understood. We got to get out here and get the word out. If you're really going to be that spiritual man, that righteous, you got to get out and get this word out. You got to help people. Read on.
Verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus-minded.
Read.
And if any, and if in anything, ye be otherwise minded.
Read that again.
And if in anything, ye be otherwise minded.
And if in anything you are otherwise minded, if you thought that any other way was the way, read.
The Most High shall reveal even this unto you.
The Most High is going to show you you are. I'm going to reveal to you that you are in another mind. I'm revealing it because I'm going to go back to the basics, the foundation of what this Bible was about. Spreading the gospel, helping our people, feeding the poor, healing the poor. You got to get off the porch.
Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule.
He said, nevertheless, we there. We got the truth. We have to walk by how?
By the same rule.
Not but what same rule? You have to walk by the rules that were laid out to the time of Christ, up to the time of the apostles. That was the rule. And if you have another mind, it's going to be revealed. We're supposed to go back and read and be like, wait a minute, Matt. Hold on. This is what we're supposed to be doing. How did I get into that mind?
Galatians chapter 1, verse 6.
Please.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 6.
I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Yahushua. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, then that which ye have preached, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Let him be a what?
A curse.
Is that Galatians 1?
Yeah.
Can you read 15? Read something out of verse 15.
But Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased the Most High, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me to his grace, verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Preach him among the heathen.
That was what was called from the jump.
Immediately, I conferred
him out with flesh and blood. I got out of my feelings, and I understood my duty.
So, it went about, I'm going to go back to flesh and blood, like I said.
Mother.
My father, my
yep.
mother, my sisters, my wife, my kids, my sisters,
God.
And my own life also. I can't be a disciple.
Why not?
If my calling who that I confer the annual council with any of those people. So they can tell me, no, that's not really what, you know, that's not really what it's about.
Okay.
You know what? What kind of Christ or what kind of God wants you to be put in a position where you don't know where you have to go from?
Right.
You don't know where what is that. You got no security. The same Christ who said, don't care what you said.
Right.
Don't make the separation. I mean, just go where I see Christ heading you.
Right.
That's how Christ will, but if you're burning with the flesh, if you go here, I don't know if my fallacy is there.
Yep.
If we go here, we have to have the set up because you know how crazy shit is out here. We got to have this, that, or what happened.
Sure.
That's all this in the world that in conferring with my flesh, I want to hear from my mother.
Yep.
I want to hear that from my dad.
You hear how things are getting out here, man. I know y'all.
So that, you know.
I know y'all are Israelites.
You
know, but, you know, you get the vision.
Now, as you go up there. Are you seeing something good? Well, what's your wife going to be doing? It's going to be sad. Are you sure that's the right move? You know, I was down. I was praying. I was praying to make sure it's the right move. Paul said, I just confirmed with the flesh.
And this is kind of off topic, but I got to say this, man. It's crazy when you just brought the point about. You think, dude, I'm going to pray for you. The spirit, I had a cat tell me, for somebody was talking, and it was a dude that told me, what is it, your brother? The brother that told me, man, he said, man, the spirit told me, I needed to share with you that your car is supposed to come to your office. And I'm like, because I'm like, that is almost the mindset. The spirit told me this, and I needed to share this with you because it was deep. Or I needed to share this with you because, you know, the spirit been showing me this, man. The spirit been showing me this. And I'm like, y'all, that's some religious as hell. Listen, our instruction came from the same place that Paul and their instruction came from. The instructions have not changed. The duty hasn't changed. But for some reason, these spirits are talking to men, and they feel like it's their duty to share with us what the spirit is showing them.
That's the scripture.
Right. We
don't show what the scripture says, but what you want to inspire, what dreams you have, the thoughts you have, whatever. Share that, but not scripture.
Man, the spirit been showing me, man, that you know what, with shit going in the world, spirit been showing me, we need to stop piling some guns, start going to the range. We don't need to stop piling up on, we don't need to work on, we don't need to study. The spirit ain't showing me that I need to study so we can do more teaching to help our people, to give them answers in these trying times, right? If Black Lives Matter, why don't you go in the book and say, let's study. So we can show him why it matters. That would be what the Bible's requiring us to do. Study to show thyself approved. When he need me, I'm going to be there. I'll be ready when you need me. Every time I don't study, guess what I'm not trying to do? I really wasn't. Father, I bet, you know, don't use me. Because I ain't ready. Don't put me in, coach. That kid in the shooting jumping, working on his game. The whole time I'm working on my game, I'm working on it. Put me in. I'm going to let you down. Put me in, coach. I'm begging for somebody to break their ankle. Because he go down, guess what? It's my time, man. I get the shot. So I've been working on my game the whole time, getting ready for what? My chance to get put in. That's what studies is about, right? I'm studying to prove myself to the Father. Right, studying to prove to the Father that I was ready to do this work. But the whole time I That is the reason I'm not studying, because I don't want to get put in. There you go. Come. Exactly. Exactly. It's time for me
to
now fight for my country. But I'm going to be a coward. I never got ready, so I injured myself so I could go home. So no different. When the spirit, we're doing the same thing. I keep trying to injure myself and then now parade myself around like I'm a war veteran. Veterans, not everybody wants to come off the veteran's day. I know what type of veteran I was. Man. I was a sorry veteran. Man. I was the whole time trying to get out the building. So I wasn't. It was totally be like that going dead. You see how this captain all these medals? I don't even have a boat hat. I don't even have a company hat. I was a coward, man. When it comes to the military, I was trying to get out. I went in the military just for the GI Bill and the check. When Desert Storm came up and they was like, "You about to ship out?" I'm like, "Shit, hell no!" Oh. I'm a half-string coach. I think it's so pop. man. Hold up, man. I gotta twitch my back hurt, my neck hit my back. I was coming up with every excuse in the world to get out. I was that coward. When we watched Men in the Spirit do the same thing, that's why he said perish. You don't want to go to war. It's a spiritual battle, and you don't want to get involved. You don't want to get your hands dirty. You don't want to sit on the porch. But you know what I like about the Most High do? You start, this truth exposes you. Now with everybody else shipping out to war, where you at? You on the porch. You got all these medals and you're sitting on the porch. No, he said, "I got that. I'm going to get your sucker badge, Pat." He said, "Where do you get this badge from?" "This is from filing. This is from paperclip."
Yeah.
"This is the paperclip medal. This is for best record keeping. You came home looking like a war vet and got a whole bunch of secretary medals because you've been in the office the whole time, or you've been on the porch while everybody else is doing what? They in a real fight." They in the spiritual battle and you scared to leave the damn porch. But I'm living. And everybody, all the youngsters that come up, they swear you a veteran. They swear you put out. When you talk, you come up with wisdom. That's all right. You are really deep. You ain't got no work. They're going to do to tell you about fighting and never got into a fight. But I read a lot of books. Tell you that much. I think you're about to move. This is Wing Chun. This right here is Aikido. This right here is moves from jiu-jitsu. And as soon as I step off the porch, I get my ass whooped. Because I never threw a punch. I ain't threw a punch, man. First time I see a little blood, I faint. I ain't got off the porch. Everybody else in the work. Read on. Where we at? You finish that? Who was reading? You was reading Romans 10. Can you hear him over there? I don't care about the time. We're going to keep rolling. Oh, cool. Then. We'll keep going.
Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "When you shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?"
He said, and all people that And they never believe in the Father. They don't know they're Israelites. They don't know that the reason the things are happening to them because they didn't keep the commandments of the Father. And then when you tell them that, or when they see it on the video, and they realize, oh, we in this condition as a people because we didn't keep the commandments. And the only thing you have for me is the Sabbath day? Where's the rest of the commandments that you're supposed to be teaching? We're supposed to be making an impact. Go ahead.
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
Go ahead.
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
How is anyone going to hear without a what?
A preacher.
So if you don't get off the porch and become the preacher, how will they hear? Read on, though.
And how shall they preach except they be sent?
He said, if you're never going to preach until you what? But we've been called. But I, you know, strangely, the Most High is sending them, but you won't go. How do I know you don't want to go? Because you won't even study. How do I know you won't go? Because you won't even come to class to allow someone to prepare me so that I can go.
Well, that's what they're getting trained on the trucks. They can be sent to Houston, sent to Virginia. That now someone's taking time to train you on every refrigerator, the treadmills, the washing machines, the dryers, the ranges, the microwaves, the whatever it might be, even just driving.
Mm-hmm.
That you allow somebody to train you so you can't be sent.
Right.
But when you're not even allowed somebody to train you, how can you be sent? And even Christ the Baker said, the harvest is plentiful.
But the labor's a few.
But the labor's a few.
Oh.
And we show it in our actions. Now, when it comes to the work of the Most High, I say, if it's the trucks, get there early, get there on time, pushing for that. But let it be now the work of the Most High, and it's, let me drag ass. You know, then I got to see my shower first. I need to do this. I need to do that. I got to go for a while. Let me go ahead and be excused.
I was in a Netflix bench. It could be that simple as, man, I got home. First thing I do when I get home is turn the TV on. I got to relax my mind for a minute. Wouldn't the Bible be the best way to relax your mind? Reading the story and watching the movie ain't the same thing. It's mental stimulation, right? When I watch TV, it's mental stimulation. I'm letting this thing play back in my mind. I'm watching. So when I read a story, isn't that still mental stimulation? But for some reason, when it's time to read the story, I know why men don't read the story. I don't read the book because I really don't want to do that job. Because that requires for me to read the story, now I got to tell the story to someone else. And I really don't want to tell those stories.
That's interfering with my life. My life of Hulu. My life of Netflix. I'm talking about the first my life of Netflix. My life of it's just my life. That I put work in. I was doing this. Now it's my time. Now I can't do more. I've earned the right to do my will.
Yeah.
That I went in and had to do this, do that, whatever. But now I'm earning the right to do for me, so I can get ready for work tomorrow. And you most I think all that, like, I'm sorry, you still don't get it. You still ain't there. You still going by your family. And it's for the time we're living in, we're playing a dangerous game the most I. The scripture says, you know, one thing you have to talk about the body is, are we preparing ourselves? We do prepare ourselves for the Most High, not just the next. It almost seems like we prepare ourselves for the next economic crash. We prepare ourselves for the next whatever. But are we really preparing ourselves for the Most High?
I really train ourselves to be able to teach someone else so we can win the 100,000, so we can all get a body.
Right.
You know, are those preparations being made? Or are they really preparation? Well, we don't know when Christ is coming back. So he might be another 50 years. Oh. So we need to go ahead and, you know, I heard about the old school shit. I'm not really with that. That old school stuff about forsaking family, forsaking this, being ready to teach it. Nah, we have to go ahead and really make sure we're getting prepared for the next financial crisis.
Yeah. It was crazy, too. I mean, to cut you off. I mean, not cut off, but I remember the crazy I'm listening to, Java, is that you watch our lives, and the thing that we're trying to hold on to, or you want this, and the reason why you don't have it is because the way you're going about trying to get it. You don't want to sacrifice. The Most High bless you. A man getting a wife, because the Most High know, I give that man wives, because he's going to put up the work. He's going to keep sacrificing because he understands what's important, what we're doing here. So I'm going to give him, and I'm going to keep giving him what he needs because he understands. But you have a lot of us to be doing with loneliness. You're dealing with that spirit and you're alone because you really don't get it. You want something. Boy, the most are like, nah, that's not, when you get a wife, you gain a possession. It's something to now help you do the work that you're supposed to do for the Most High. She wasn't, the comfort that she gave is spiritual.
The one thing about the Most High.
Yeah. This crazy. She's supposed to free you up to study, to teach. But if I'm not studying and I'm not teaching, what was her purpose then? But I can have another mind, and that's fine. We're reading that that's not uncommon to have a whole another mind, and it's still going to be the will of the Father. And you mad because the Father don't bless. Like, what? You're not, I'm not going to bless that mindset. This is the mind you in. That ain't my mind. Why would I give you something that goes completely contrary to my mind? But the whole time in your arrogance, you act like you being dealt with wrong. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why. Am I asking for too much? The Father's like, yeah. Because you asking for something I was never going to get. I gave you help for you to do a job. I've always given help for you to do a job. In the garden, I gave help for you to do a job. Why would my motives change while you were in captivity?
2 Timothy 2:4. Please. No man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may seize him who has chosen him to be a son of God. But if we really get this in our minds, not know it's about making sure this life is comfortable. And it's really about making sure that this life and these affairs of this life, that's what a man, that's what a man does this. Okay, cool. I didn't tell you that. If that's what a man does, it was a good soul to do for Christ.
There you go.
You being a man.
Right.
You being a man. But if you being a man, by whatever definition you use, how is that something you're doing as a soul for Christ? That you got to make sure you're covering the affairs of this life. And that that's, you're supposed to get a pat on the back for the Most High Christ.
Family. So good.
Because of the work that had to get done.
Yeah.
Peter and all the other fathers left families, left everything for the work of the Most High. But now, again, it's just saying the work of the Most High is you got to make sure you take your family first. And if the teaching is done, it'll get done. But said, let another man praise you. Well, I was down there, man, and needed help, man. You came down to help. And he said, first thing you came, you just got your first house was an apartment, whatever, in San Antonio. And he just got a apartment. But you were in Miami helping me when they bought the furniture in, right in front of your end.
Yeah. You couldn't even see none of it. I decided to leave and bam, they left.
And then, but the most time, and that mindset, you take care of what's important to me, I'll take care of everything else.
Yep.
And we used to travel that way in everything we fucking did.
Sure did, man. Sure did.
That was the standard.
Yep.
That you had ribs go to Oklahoma, and you got 50 San Antonio.
Yeah.
Enough.
Well, right. I still think I'm maybe still going. I'm like, man.
When we put Marquise and Northside first,
God.
My first vehicle in the shoot that one.
Yeah.
You put a good name, it would have worked.
Yeah, because that thing did. That thing built Miami. That thing helped build Cali. God. That thing helped build Oklahoma. It was to the point. Listen, then I felt like I'm doing the work at the Most High. When I went and signed that temporary shit, I was honored to do it because we knew what he was going to. I don't know what you did that I don't know what you actually did in that vehicle, but I know that time Passover came up, it was a new group of brothers coming to wherever Passover was, and we looked bigger. It made everybody want to get in. What can we do? But you just saw a key word. We weren't trying to be men. We were trying to be soldiers of the Most High. We got in the battle. That's where we got in. We got into the work, not trying to sit on the porch.
You know, we used to understand Spanish. You can't beat the Most High kid.
Nope.
If we had our beat. Winnebagoes. Never personal used to go fishing.
Uh-uh.
Like I'm seeing brothers do now. We were given that for the work. We needed, because when we jumped up over, there was no place for us to sleep. So where was we slept in the fucking RV.
Yep.
When we first, I'll tell you, some of the fast
time. Nothing but the beach.
We didn't think of the beach, but we pulled the RV in the backyard.
Oh, there you go. That's right. That's right.
So me and Kazowski slept in the RV. Because before that, I was sleeping under a table, or I was sleeping on the fucking little love seat, or what have you. But when the RV came, now we were sleeping in the RV. Now we had a place to sleep. Taking that big RV, I got traded up, and we went to Oklahoma, and we slept in the RV because that was the tool that was needed. It was never for personal use. It was never for vacation, that this is what we going, you know what, we need to get a boat. We didn't play this game with ourselves. Well, Christ was on a boat, but you know what, we need to get a boat. So that we just go ahead and carry the boat behind the RV,
yeah.
So we go out there and preach on the water, like Christ.
Right.
It was shit. It wasn't we didn't
that.
Games like that.
So good.
The more we gave, I was telling you now, remember it, when y'all was going to school in Africa, so I was streaming out, y'all need a generator. Brian walked in it, on the
depot,
put the generator on his shoulder, walked right out. Not a word was said.
Right.
How many times, just driving through whatever parking lot, look and see a bag, open up, $2,000.
Yep.
A credit card.
Yeah.
Okay. It was
what was needed.
Work.
Yes. And we listen. And you know what? It was that's what I was saying about knowing that men had perished because it didn't make a difference. You believe, listen, you understood that everything you did was towards your salvation. Everything was towards your salvation. It's really what the fight is about. It's about us. Bring it to the kingdom. I see none of them. I mean, literally none of them.
No, you hadn't been a mission. You cut the cord. Because if you didn't cut the cord, their life was in danger.
None of them.
No, because upon the side was, or the unbound, whatever that was,
yeah,
is being, was going to throw a pitch fit because you weren't there to cut the cord.
They knew my ritual. They knew that. I always believed in one thing. If I do this for the Most High look out for
time.
And every single child did the same thing every time. I was doing the work. He would look out. Every kid was been born the same way. The Most High blessed them all. That was how I did it. So every sister in the camp see my kids before I see my kids.
Tell the kids.
Cut the cord. Did all of it. Grandma's, dad, everybody. That was just the Most High always blessed. I pray. I can't be here. What am I going to do?
Was Mashaba there? Nope.
Yeah, I was there in spirit.
My representative was.
Yes, so was. That's why I was there, man.
The angels, they were there because I'm doing my work job for the Most High. They literally covered everything else.
God.
And that's
the mind of a that's the mind of a spiritual soldier.
It was right around 2000. Did that in 2000? That's when it changed in Israel. That it now became about you got to make sure you take care of you. That's when that really started to make the twist. And before that, it was about we got to wake up Israel. And we got to school. It wasn't just for us to sit in school.
Mm-hmm.
We got to school for you. Came to school about 6 months.
Yeah.
You came to school about 6 months to the soldiers test, 5 months test, so you can go out to go to work.
That was it.
So you go out and help spread this knowledge, help spread this truth.
God.
Work was on the road at 19.
Yep.
19.
Almost.
He just
out of high school.
He just graduated high school and was on the road. Kazaki didn't even graduate high school.
Mm-hmm.
At 17, Kazaki was on the road teaching.
Yep.
With us. It wasn't about making sure I get a degree, make sure I get a diploma. To this day, he still got a diploma. Or a degree.
Nope.
But he lived in Sugar Land.
Yep.
He lived in, he's got a Beamer.
Yep. They bought a house.
Brother
bought a house in Virginia and opened the business up.
And it has been prospering. I mean, it's been prospering. Shalom's pregnant now. One of them's pregnant now.
Mm-hmm. Shalom. One of them is.
And the Most High keeps blessing. Yep. And it's about the work.
Yep.
It's been about the work.
And I what you're making out. It's been, like I said, you read the scripture, read. He said, any man that warred. Problem is, we the brothers that decided to get in the fight, to get in this spiritual war, to get in, not talk about it, get off the porch and get involved. I wanted to be a war for the Most High. I knew what I was about. He said, but every man that warred that take himself not with the affairs of his life, that he can do what?
Please him that's called to be a soldier.
Well, I understood I was called to be that soldier. Are you a soldier? You ain't got no battle. You got no battle scars. You know what you call a soldier? You have no battle scars? He's a pistol pusher. Even now he's a drone flyer. You're against the blind. He makes you, he gives everybody. Even the medics on the ground is getting scars on you. They didn't. They sewing and ducking. I'm healing and licking out the shrapnel. Somebody is coming in trying to blow the hospitals up, trying to kill more soldiers. That'd be right in the middle of it.
One of the biggest differences of the day from what changes in also, basically, one would be that soldier. And people for the Most High, it was about it was going to tell you, that's not what your country do for you, but what you do for the world.
Yeah.
How long were we in this world before we got to teach each other? If it wasn't supplied by our ribs or whatever else, it was never a thing about, I can only do this if I get paid. I'm good. I'll come help if
you have help.
For full-time jobs, having full-time jobs, we'd rather sleep on a full-time job. So by the time we got the job to take to school,
right,
we could be alert and awake for what's going on at school. That was important. the particular law was the most time people have a job. That's going to be an issue. As long as this takes care of first, that will always come. But there's been a change. There's been a real change in Israel. It's not what can I do for Israel. It's what's Israel going to do for me.
That's what I was talking about, duty. It's not being about the duty of a soldier. A soldier is no, either a soldier or a worker. There's a duty that I'm expected to do. We've stepped away from the duty, and now it's about, well, as a man, you know, yeah, as a man, you should get a pension. As a man, you should have all these things. And that is, now we've confused being a man to being a soldier of the Most High. Because that soldier had a duty. In the Bible, never talked about manhood. The whole time the Bible's ever talked about was what? Duty.
One of the first things we ever learned was Most High is a man of war.
God.
So we become like him, we become warriors or soldiers.
Yeah, your manhood was never, you know what's crazy? The Most High never questioned, a man's manhood was never questioned because there's not a man in it. The Most High didn't give that man what he needed. But the only reason those things were given, just like when you go back, we need to go back and read a lot of the Old Testament. A lot of the riches that men got came from war. They went out and now their wealth came from the spoils of war. That's why as a young man at 20 went to war, half of his wealth was based on the battle that he fought. Moses said he's a man of war, but this is a spiritual warfare. So we're not out here punching and stabbing and shooting people. Your wealth comes from the battles that you overcome. That's where that wealth comes from. The Most High give every man what he needs. I take care of the man. But I'll take care of the man when the man does his duty.
We understood that in building a nation, the only example that we have of building a nation is what Esau did. I thought about the destination of Dan. I'm not talking about this. But what kind of sacrifices did he and my forefathers had to go through for this man? But Esau from the East Coast, on wagons, so whatever is coming up, and had to travel out west. To go by wagon to get out of it. And then the Indian raid, the weather, the whatever it is they had to put up with, having to have a wife who might have been friendly, but at the same time she had a shovel, at the same time she had an axe, was helping to build the log cabin they had to sleep in. There was nothing there. They had to dig the post, then build the fence for the cows. They had to get milked, and the chickens that had to be dealt with. That they literally had to, they were building for their future. Their future wasn't them at that time. They said for future generations. But they knew and understood the sacrifice they were making was for future generations. So they now have to be performing based on how you something for future generations.
I beseech you, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Most High, that ye present your
bodies a living sacrifice.
Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
What things are supposed to be
that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, think not of himself more highly than he ought to think. But to think soberly. Soberly.
He said, then send him back that my people don't come down the same road. But this is all about manners. This is all about legacy. This is all about what I should be as a man. Read on. It's bad. Read. Oh, hold on. Read this last one. Don't let everybody go, man. It's 10 o'clock. Go ahead, read.
Fine. It says,